Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. And we're going to read together verses 5 through 6, and then we can be seated. Amen. And before we read, I want to share just a quick little story. And it's something that God had given me, and I want to share this. I want to make sure it's on the recording. But there is a story. Many of you know this story. But it has a lot of relevance to it. Okay? So there was a flood that came to a city, and all the houses were being flooded, and torrential rain kept coming. And so this one man, he climbed up on top of his roof, and here comes a little boat, threw out a life ring, and said, grab on, come on, let's get on the boat, we'll save your life. And this man that was on the roof says, I'm trusting in Jesus. He's going to save me. So the boat went away. So then the floods were coming even higher. So he was basically almost on the very top of his antenna. And now here comes a ship. And it throws out a life ring. Come on, grab onto it. And he said, no, Jesus is going to save me. And so off the ship it went. So now he's standing on top of the antenna. Remember those old antennas that looked like they were flat? You could actually stand on top of them. He was on top of it, and all the rushing water was underneath. And here comes the helicopter. Drops down a ladder. Says, jump on. Save your life. And the man said, no, Jesus is going to save me. So off went the helicopter, and within moments, the floods came and washed them away. Now, he's standing in front of the Lord. He says, God, I trusted you. You said that you would save me. I cried out to you. And then the Lord had to say to him, young man, I sent you two boats and a helicopter. Why did I share this story? It's because this ties in to this whole theme this morning. And it's all about taking wise counsel from the Word of God. And then there is unwise counsel that sometimes people take heed to. And guess what? That unwise counsel can also lead to death. Oh, yes. Are we there at Proverbs? Let's look at this. Let's read together. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. May the Lord have a blessing to the hearer and reader of your word. You may be seated. Saints, right up here. Life is really just one continuous series of decisions. But we are not left to figure all this out by ourselves. Can I get an amen? Man, I'm telling you, there are times where we need wise counsel. So saints, God has given us directions for wise decision making and promises of his divine guidance if we'll listen to him. The Lord also provides other people who can help us when we don't know what to do. But we must be cautious. Why? Because not all advice is beneficial. Our goal should always be to seek godly counsel that will aid us in discovering God's will. Can I get an amen? Let's look at this verse of scripture in Proverbs 15:2. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. So we can't escape issues of life. He's looking at all situations of life. But what God is saying to us this morning, what counsel are you listening to? When you find yourself in a rut, and right now, the reason why God gave me this message is because there are some things in life that sometimes we can't figure out on our own strength. Can I get amen? And this, the Word of God, should be the highest authority. If it doesn't line up with God's Word, guess what? That's the time to reject it. Can I get amen? And so we're going to see this familiar story played out in the Old Testament. In 1 Kings, young king Rehoboam needed wise counsel. And shortly after he became king, the people of Israel came to him asking that he lighten the hard service and heavy yoke that his father Solomon had placed on them. The elders who had served his father gave him the following advice. If you will be a servant to this people today and will serve them and grant them their petition and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever. In other words, bless them, help them, encourage them, strengthen them. So let's see how this story plays out in 1 Kings. Look at this. 1 Kings 12, 1 through 11. And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had gone to Shechem to make him king. So it happened when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, heard it was still in Egypt, for he had fled from the presence of King Solomon and had been dwelling in Egypt. Verse 3. Then they sent and called him and said, Jeroboam, look. And the whole assembly of Israel came and spoke to him, saying, your father made our yoke heavy. Okay, his father was dying. So now his son was going to be king. But there was a plea. There was a plea to all those that served under Solomon, because Solomon had a heavy yoke on them, meaning he was like a taskmaster. And his heavy yoke, which was put on us, and we will serve you. So he said to them, depart for 3 days and come back to me. Are you there in verse 4? Look at this right here. And his heavy yoke, which he put on us, he will serve you. So he said to them, depart 3 days, then come back to me. And the people departed. Then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who stood before his father Solomon while he still lived. And he said, how do you advise me to answer these people? So he went to his father. Look at this in verse 7. And they spoke to him saying, if you will be a servant to these people today and serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever. But he rejected the advice. Did you catch that? He rejected the advice which the elders had given him and consulted the young man who had grown up with him, which stood before him. So in other words, here comes wise counsel, the elders that were there lifting up his hands. And they said, This young man said, I'm not taking your wise counsel. So he started operating in his own understanding. Look at verse 9. And he said to them, what advice do you give? How should we answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, lighten the yoke which your father put on us? Then the young man who had grown up with him spoke to him, saying, thus you should speak to this people who you have spoken to you, saying, your father made our yoke heavy, but you make it lighter on us. Thus you shall say to them, my little finger should be thicker than my father's waist. What? So in other words, how dare you come and tell me to ease your yoke? I'm going to make it heavier now. Wow. That's an ouch. Look at verse 11. And now, whereas my father put a heavy yoke on you, I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scourges. Man, when you read the rest of the story, he should have taken heed to the counsel, but he didn't. That's like when someone tells you, you know what? You need to go to the doctor. No, God's going to heal me. And guess what happens? Sometimes disaster happens. And so I'm going to ask this question right up here. How do we detect bad counsel? This is going to teach us something this morning, because I know God brought this message for all of us. So how do we detect bad counsel? Number one, unwise counselors make little or no mention of God or His word. So if you're receiving counsel from someone and they leave God out, stop it right there. If God is not in the midst, don't even speak. Don't even open your mouth. Because you're not there to glorify God. And why should I listen to you if God has the answers for me? Can I get an amen? Their advice will be based on what they think, not what God thinks. Number two, there will be an absence of prayer. You ever got counsel from someone and then they just started rattling off and they say, well, you know what? Let's go before the throne room of God. Let's ask God to speak here. Let's ask God to meet us here. Listen, in the day that we live in, there are health issues, there is marriage issues, there's relationship issues, there's financial issues, and a lot of times instead of running to God's word, we run to someone else and we find ourselves falling in a deeper pit. We do. Why? Because of pride. And we are self-deceived at times. And so one of them is, if there's an absence of prayer, flee. Because to them, it's not considered important. I'm sorry, it's important to me, amen? I'm not going to make a decision unless I seek the face of God. Look at number three here. They may display a subtle defensiveness about using scripture or guidance. Listen, if you go, well, let's open the word of God. Well, you know, we don't need that right now. I just want to give you my advice right now. What, no word? And if you talk about the word, it offends them. You know why? Because the word of God is higher than their authority. And they're operating under their own authority. And ultimately, there's a hidden agenda there. They want to control you. You see, saints, preferring to rely on their own senses, they see the word of God as unnecessary. Well, you don't need that. Come on. This is an ancient book. We live in 2018 now. See, the Bible tells me the word of God is forever settled in heaven. Hallelujah. Jesus is the word. Can I get amen? Hallelujah. And He should be the one ruling and reigning in our lives. Look at number four. They may suggest actions that are not scriptural. Oh, yeah. Yeah, just go run 3 miles. Take 2 aspirins and call me in the morning. Man, there's some folks that can't even walk a half a block. They have no wisdom. They have no understanding. Their advice may sound and feel right, but it actually violates what God says in His word. And if you're listening to that kind of counsel, you will crash and burn. It will happen. Why? Because you left God out of the equation. You kicked Him out. Look at number five. Unwise counselors may be very critical of Christian leaders or godly people. You ever had that? Well, you know what? That church just wants to brainwash you. Really? So what's your better advice? Then they take out a book called Dr. Spock and try to tell you, this is the way you need to live. You know, there's some new age, deceiving, lying spirits out there. They're pro everything. Pro abortion, pro same-sex marriage, pro divorce. Everything you could think of that's contrary to the word of God, they have taken heed to that ungodly counsel. And that spirit, that antichrist spirit right now, is just roaming our nation and trying to destroy our nation. It's not a political issue. It's a spiritual issue. It's darkness. It's demonic. And it's infiltrated the church now. And no one behind pulpits are talking about it. Oh, we can't talk about that. This is a political thing. You better think again when you stand before Jesus. There's people in many different churches that are living a lie, and they're going to be headed to hell because they're coddling their sin instead of bringing it to the forefront. Let God fix it. Hallelujah. Let Jesus be the one high and lifted up in your life. And so these guys, they warn against listening to them, asserting that their way is the only way. I'm sorry, but Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. He is the way. Look at number 6. They suggest reading material that ignores God's word. Like I said, they read all kinds of different. Here's 5 books. Just read them all. You'll get some really good insight. Yeah. And some of them say, you don't have to forgive your husband or your wife. You don't have to. You don't have to forgive your employer. You have the right to be angry. Just have a Burger King life. Having it my way. Live like that. That's what they want to suggest. And there are thousands of counselors in our culture, and many of them rely on resources that have nothing to do with truths or scripture. Therefore, we must be careful, saints, to recognize and reject materials that do not present God's views. Hallelujah. That's right. Even little Judah's clapping right now. He's giving me an amen. Come on. Out of the mouth of babes, hallelujah, shall come forth truth. Yeah, come on. Look at that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. He gets it. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Look at this. Sometimes counselors give advice according to what they think we want to hear. I'm not forgiving that person. That person said so many bad, ugly things about me. And these counselors say, you don't. You need to be about yourself. And so the ungodly triune God, some of us walk around with that. Not the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, but they walk around with me, myself, and I. It's all about me. And if I'm ready to trade this one in, I'll get me a new one. Our society says, trade them in. There's so many to pick from that'll suit your needs. And so you get rid of one, and here comes another one, and then you find out in the morning, they need to brush their teeth too. Oh yeah, that's the kind of society we live in. Let's just change them. But see, a wise counselor considers what God says first and foremost. Can I get amen? Amen. Look at number 8. An advisor may seek to control the one counseled. Well, I need you to do this, and I need you to do that. No, I don't want you to hear the other party at all. Uh-uh. They're just trying to manipulate you. You need to hear me. And let me tell you, that unwise counsel will send someone to the pit. Why? Because they don't use the word of God. And if God is not the authority, then you've substituted God's word for someone else. And a lot of that stuff that's written is through humanistic mind views and demonic influences. If we could get them off of God, we've done our job. If we could sway them away from the truth, we've done our job. Why am I bringing this message? It's because I know for a fact, I know 4 marriages right now that are in dire straits. I'm not going to blast them up here. Their marriages are falling off like a hem unraveling. But God wants to save marriages. Can I get an amen? Amen. God wants to restore. He's the God of all reconciliation. Listen, when he went down looking for us, he first and did foremost, he reconciled us to the Father. And then he said, I'm going to reconcile you with one another. And so before we can reconcile with one another, guess what? We have to understand we are reconciled with Him. Because at one time we were at war with Christ. And then when we came to the cross in humility, He broke us, man, right there at the cross. He allowed us to see our rebellion. He allowed us to see our sin. He allowed us to see that we were dead in transgressions and sins that God raised up. You know what the greatest miracle? It's not the blind seeing. It's not the mute speaking. It's not the cripple walking. The greatest miracle is we who were dead in transgressions and sins that God raised up. Hallelujah. That is the greatest miracle. That we can be in this place like this, praising Him, giving Him glory, and say, Lord Jesus, thank You for washing me and cleansing me. Thank you, God, for now I'm a new creature in Christ. Behold, all things are passed away. All things have become what? New. And if you are a new creature in Christ, guess what? These things that I'm putting up, you will reject, reject, reject. Can I get amen? And you'll say, no. God, Jesus, He is the highest authority in my life. I'm not going to allow these Dr. Spock books and all these to influence me. If you want to read a good love story novel, then read the Book of Solomon. There's enough there alone that I'll tell you about the good, the bad, and the ugly. Look at that. An advisor may seek to control the one counsel. We must be cautious, saints, about letting someone try to control our activities and relationships with their advice. Can I get an amen? Look at number 9. Some counselors may seek to create a sense of dependency on them. Oh, I need to go get my fix. I need to go sit with this person. You know why? Because you want to listen and you only want to hear what you want to hear. So they're not going to tell you. Repent. They're going to tell you need to get right before God. Let me go ahead and empty yourself. And now let me empty in you my ungodliness. Jesus, help us. But we are called to trust in the Lord. Can I get an amen? To heed His word and follow His leadership. If we trust Him for our salvation, surely we can trust Him for our guidance. The wisest counsel we could possibly find in God's word is Jesus, who is the great I am. So we should invest our time in learning scripture and seeking help from those who know it well and can guide us to the right passages. Can I get an amen? Thank you, God. Look at this right here. Look at this. Avoid counselors with an ungodly lifestyle. You got to watch out who you listen to. Oh, yeah, this person loves the Lord. Yeah, well, they do. But on Friday nights, they're at the Gas Lamp Theater or Gas Lamp just doing their thing out there, shaking it with the best of them. But let me give you some good advice. Oh, really? So that's y'all counsel. Someone that wants to live a life of duplicity. I'm in here Sunday morning praising God, and Friday nights, man, I'm out there shaking my groove thing. Jesus, help us. Help us, God. Help us, Lord. Avoid them with ungodly lifestyle. Oh, yeah, I go to church. Uh-huh. Every 2 months. Yeah, when I get a headache, I'll come to church. Most people come to church when something really unravels. But then there are those who love the Lord like you. And we're here to praise Him and glorify. Why? Because we love Him. Huh? Because what He's done in our lives, He has changed us from the inside out. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. That's right. We're here because of what He's done, not what we did. There's nothing we can do to make it right with God. Hallelujah. It's what He's done at the cross. Thank you, God. He just said, repent. And come and surrender your life. He will do the rest. Aren't you so blessed that He doesn't make it difficult? The most difficult thing is to recognize that we have sinned. Allow him to open your eyes to see. And so, avoid counselors with ungodly lifestyle. This applies to both professionals and friends. Oh, you don't have no friends that will strain you away, do you? No, I think I'm the only one that has, I think. Oh, man, it's okay. Your pastor won't go get mad. Hey, man, if you got a severe one, man, just go take a couple bongs at night. Yeah, man, and just go on that play. Yeah, yeah. And then the demons come in and start talking to you. Oh, come on. Oh, it's okay, man. One drink ain't gonna. Wait, come on, it's just one. And that one, man, I'm sorry, flesh is weak. I need another one. And then another one. Next thing, yeah, what up? Man. Don't worry about Sunday, just enjoy the moment. Come on. That's right. If someone is not living rightly, it's doubtful that they will be able to give godly advice. If we want to know what God desires, we must go to his word. Can I get amen? Or to someone who knows it well and lives the obedient life. If you can't come to your pastor or elders here who is trying to do their best to live a holy life, then you need to find someone that knows God's word. And this is why we, hallelujah, have a midweek service. There's some churches you don't see them until Sunday again. We want a midweek. Why? What's that midweek for? So we're in book, chapter, and verse. Hallelujah. We're breaking down the word. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I can't just go an hour and a half of the word on Sunday and wait all those hours until next Sunday. You got to be in God's word. Can I get an amen? If you can't make it out to the home fellowship, something's wrong. You can't make it Wednesday, make it. Listen, we give those opportunities so that you can grow. They're not just on the docket. They're just not on the program. Oh, they got some programs here. No, that means apply some action to it and say, I'm going to go intend and grow in the grace and knowledge. Can I get amen? Thank you, God. Look at this. Some advisor may want to give us an out. Oh, you know what? Just cut that one loose. And you watch, another one will come around. That's the easy way out. No matter how difficult the relationship may be, I'm telling you, God does miracles. How many believe that God can do a miracle? Listen, if he saved our sin-sick souls, nothing's too hard for God. He can restore that relationship. He can restore, hallelujah, the finances. He can restore the health that needs to be well. Can I get an amen? He can do all those things, but you got to allow him. But some advisors wants to give it out. But escaping our problems and pain may not be what God desires. He may want us to walk through them to teach us valuable lessons we'd learn no other way. Going through the fire without being burnt. My sister bought that book. She brought it to me. Look, I bought that book. Man, Argo, where are you at? Are you at the place where he came to Fullerton yet? Mm-mm. I'm reading the places where he was hung upside down and they took bats to his feet. And then they electrocuted all his privates for smuggling Bibles into Russia. Oh, man. By the time they started putting bracelets and taking us upside down, all of us would be crying uncle. Remember when you was a kid, you put your brother in a headlock and you couldn't move no more? And so say uncle. So when the devil has you in a headlock, are you going to endure? Are you going to find a way, hallelujah, to outmaneuver this guy? Or are you just going to go, uncle? He didn't. Read that book. He didn't cry uncle. He cried out to God, God, you are the one that can deliver me. And the last time they apprehended him, they put him in a cell, like a dungeon. They opened a trap door, and thousands of hungry rats came in. And they started jumping on him and started eating him. And he had no one to cry out to but God. And he said, Jesus, I don't want to go like this. And an angel appeared in the room, and all the rats died. And guess what? Cardiac arrest came to the warden. And after that happened, they set that man out. Get out of here. And God set him free. Are you willing to go through some fire to let God set you free? Can I get an amen? Because the result is a better end when he's in it. Man, read the book, Through the Fire Without Burning. That story goes on. Because when he came to Fullerton, the angel took him on a vision and showed him Los Angeles, showed him Las Vegas, showed him Florida, showed him parts in Texas, New York City. He says, one day it's all going to burn in the fire because it's all Sodom and Gomorrah. And the stench has reached the heavens. And the Russians and Chinese, North Korea, Mexico, they all know where our nuclear sites are, and they're going to come one day to bomb them. Let me ask you then, which wise counsel are you going to run to if that comes in our time? This is a serious matter. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where God is saying, get out of your comfort zone and start praising and worshiping and start serving the King. Hallelujah. And so, instead of looking for a way out, we should become so centered on God's word and devoted to his will that we want whatever he desires for us, even if it's painful. I'd rather go the painful route than the easy route. Yeah, I know, we want out. No, I want out now. Sometimes the answer we seek for is not found in running to someone else for guidance, but letting our knees drop 18 inches to the floor to ask God, what should we do from this point on? My goodness. Look at this right here. Some counselors are seeking our approval. Oh, yeah. Oh, you're right. Yes, you're right. Keep telling me more. Keep fluffing up my flesh. Yeah, that person's a dirty rat. You're right. Yeah. And so the counselor just wants approval. What they're saying is right. Has nothing to do with God's word. And this is a problem that happens when friends try to please us by telling us that they think and what we want to hear. A check in our spirit reveals unsound counsel. When we walk in the spirit, he gives us inner warnings, these checks, if we're heading in the wrong direction, thinking the wrong way, or making a wrong decision. If this happens while we're confiding in someone, we should stop, knowing it's a warning from the Spirit of God. Uh-uh, I'm out of here. You're not lining up with God's word. Look at this. Some people counsel in a way that is profitable for themselves. Listen, you need to not attend here ever again. If you need counsel, well, it's going to be like $50 an hour. There's organizations out there, you got to pay them. You got to pay them, then they won't even use the word of God. They're looking for a disaster that's happened in your life. How can I profit from it? Oh, this is a great opportunity to make some money here. Wow. Why? Because they're looking at your demise for their gain. But the best counselors are those who truly care for the people of God. And they seek to do what's best without regard from what they get. It should be this. If I can share the word of God and make your life understand God's principles and precepts and the ways he loves, then God will get all the glory. You know why? Because you're deterring it and deferring it to the cross. It's got to be about the cross. And sometimes our falling out with one another is because we have left the cross. And now we're not looking to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. We're looking for another source. Sometimes it seems like we need another source. Jesus is not enough. And if Jesus is not enough, that lets me kind of wonder, were you really born again? Because if you're born again, the Spirit of God will be living inside you. You'll have joy. And you guess what? You'll learn to get things right with others. Why? Because God will give you the perfect peace. He'll give you the love, the joy. He'll give you the heart to forgive. He'll give you a peace that surpasses all understanding. And so let's look at this one. Sometimes a counselor may become inappropriately involved with the counselee. Be careful. Listen, this one's for me, and I'll tell you why. Because I don't counsel with anyone without Sister Yolanda there. Can I get an amen? A sister wants counsel, we counsel together. Brother needs counsel, we counsel together. You know why? Because there always need to be a witness. Well, this person said this and that. If it doesn't line up with God's word, we're not going to even say nothing. God's word has to be the highest authority. Can I get an amen? Watch out who you receive counsel from. You meeting with someone at some park and beach and, oh man, you know, they have the answers for me. Next thing you know, well, hey, what are you doing Friday? I'm not doing nothing. Oh, well, let's go have a drink. Next thing you know, you'll be reeled in. You know why? Because you told them too much junk that was in your trunk. And now they're looking away to captivate you and really come in and cause you to go into a disastrous, more severe situation. Watch out. Can I get amen? Amen. This can even happen in a church or with pastors. I've heard, I'm not going to put no one on blast, and I'm always saying, God, guard my heart, but I know there's some churches where pastors have fallen from grace. Why? Well, that one looks a whole lot better than the one I have now. And you know what God does? He rips away your ministry. He does. He doesn't allow you to be up there preaching and you right there living in sin, causing others to stumble and fall. There must be appropriate barriers in counseling. An advisor may project his own hurts and disappointments on the person he counsels. Our problems may be the counselor's hidden issues to the forefront. Wow. Look at number 14. A counselor may unload on the person seeking help. That counselor needs counsel. You're pouring your heart to someone. Oh, yeah, man. I know what you mean because I'm going through there right now. Man, be careful, saints. Can I get an amen? Be careful. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I've come to give life and life more abundantly. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Soon the session becomes about his problems instead of our problems or your problem. Look at number 16. We should not go to an unbeliever for godly counsel. Can I get an amen? Holy, I grew up with Sister So-and-so, man, and she, man, we're like sisters, man, and she knows everything about me. I can confide, and I know it's going to stay with her. And as soon as you unload, all of National City, Paradise Hills, Chula Vista knows all about your junk. No? You just put yourself on blast. This is how it works. Psst, psst. Please, don't tell nobody. Psst, 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 psst. Oh, don't worry. Guess what? Please, don't tell nobody. Psst, 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 psst. That one hangs up. Guess what? Don't tell nobody. So now all of a sudden, you're walking in, maybe to church, and everyone goes. Person don't even know nothing. But I told my friend. Oh, that never happened to you, right? Those things don't happen. Pastor, you're making up stories now. Listen, someone who doesn't know God or believe in his word will never be able to give godly advice and will never be able to contain your mess. You know why someone wants to talk about it and tell others? Because the junk that they have, they want their stuff to be elevated above yours. I'm better than that person. You ought to see what they're doing. It's all about pride. My goodness. And so, what are the consequences of going to an ungodly account? What are the consequences? Oh, nothing's good. Everything's going to be all right. Man, that's great advice. I'm going to do that. Next thing you know, they're going to Coronado Bay Bridge and looking over the peak of it. Yeah, I think this may be better. So what are the consequences? Well, number one, we might make the wrong decision. Here's the most important key element. We might be totally deceived. Can I get amen? Did you know the Word of God talks about that? What do you mean be deceived? Yeah. The Bible says our heart is deceitful, above all, desperately wicked. Jeremiah 17:9. But in the Word of God in the New Testament, look what it says here. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false what? Teachers. Take heed who you get your counsel from. Who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves what? Swift destruction. My goodness. It's in God's word so that we can take heed. Can I get amen? Look at the next verse right here. Many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemy. In other words, I don't want to hear the truth. I just want me, myself, and I to feel better. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down into hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be released for judgment. Look what it says here. And did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, and a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly. Did you catch that? These people that are sowing false counsel and false prophecies and all these things that are false, it would be better that they would fall into hell with these people than to deceive one of God's children. What? Look at this. And delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day, seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Man, we live in a society no differently. They're spewing out their ungodliness. They're teaching you that transgender's okay, homosexuality's okay, divorce is okay. They're teaching you all these things that God says, that's an abomination to me. And those who teach that or don't open their mouth about it will fall in a place of torment. Then the Lord knows how to deliver, hallelujah, the godly out of the temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. What? I'm glad God wrote it, not me. Don't get mad with the mailman this morning. I'm just delivering the mail. It's up to you to open up the letter and read it. You ever get one of those pink bills? You better open it up. Day or two later, hey, why come the light don't work? You threw away the pink bill. Oh, none of you had one of them before, huh? Oh, okay. Sorry, I went there. Look at verse. And especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed, and they are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. My goodness. My goodness. We live in treacherous times. I hope you know that. And so what are the consequences to an ungodly counselor? Right here, look. We could be controlled by the counselor. As soon as everything doesn't matter but this counselor's word, you need to flee. God is saying, go get right with your spouse. Go get right with your children. Go get right with your brother. That's what you need to do. Go get it right. And it may cost us financially. Oh, yeah, man. Depending on what counseling agency you sign up to. They only charge $25 an hour. But this one has results, but they charge $200 an hour. And we are so gullible instead of submitting yourself to the will of God, humbling yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Can I get an amen? It could separate friends. It can. I'm telling you, ungodly counsel will do all kinds of weirdness. Look at this. It may injure our marriage. Like I said, four couples that I know, they're on the brink of destruction. And I know they're not getting sound counsel from the Word of God. Because if they were, God would get them out of that dilemma right away. And you know what it starts with? Repent. Repent. When you learn to forgive one another, that's when God floods your life with joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, kindness. Man, the joy of the Lord becomes your strength. And guess what? I don't even know why I was mad at you. Because God now is in the mix. Oh, yeah. We could turn away from trusting God and turn to trusting a person instead. I don't want to forgive, and I don't want to repent. So that advice is much better for me. Mm-hmm. You keep on walking that way. And watch how God will get a hold of you. Especially if someone's praying for you. We might be encouraged to make decisions that violate God's word. And lastly, we may be led astray and lead someone else astray also. Especially if that counselor is saying, you don't need to be that person no more. Let that person go. And then you get that counsel and says, I need to convince you, you need to let me go. And then you lead that one astray. Well, I guess you're right. Let me just say this. Those who are listening on the internet right now, this message, I know God had given me this message. You need to take authority over your home through the Word of God. God needs to be the authority. Can I get amen? Amen. Nothing else matters. And bind and rebuke the foul and evil thing that's trying to come and destroy your home. Can I get amen? Amen. Jesus came to set us free. And whom the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. You bind that spirit, because that's an ungodly spirit that's speaking. It's not the spirit of reconciliation or meekness or kindness or love and joy and peace and forgiving. Oh, yeah. So we close with this scripture here. I'd rather listen to a wise man who been through some things, who ran from enemies. Remember Brother Felipe's message about the slingshot? Remember when he fought that giant? Well, God taught him some things before that battle. So I'd rather listen to godly counsel than to someone who's never been through the fire. You need to ask that counselor, well, you know what? How long have you been saved? How much do you know the Word of God? Because I need sound counsel from God's Word. Look at this. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners. In other words, there's some people you got to just cut off. I can't be with these folks no more. You know why? They want to pull you down and get you right back in the place that God delivered you from. They want to take you back to Egypt. Oh, man, remember those good old herbs? Oh, you didn't get that one, huh? Look at this. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful. These are folks that you have all the right to get rid of that person. How dare they do that to you? Scornful. And their life is toe up from the flow up. And you're listening to them because they're scornful. They can't tell you something good. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. That's the Word of God. And his delight, he meditates day and night. Hallelujah. Man, when things ain't going right, just get in your Word. Say, Lord, I'm trusting you. I believe in you, God. Hallelujah. You said that you have given me life and life more abundantly. I'm going to bind and rebuke all the negativity. I'm going to bind and rebuke the demon that's coming to try to destroy my home. You remember that message I preached a while back? But what was that? You remember that? The Leviathan spirit. Someone remembers that one, huh? Man, I went home and said, I can't believe I preached that message. Well, you know, I had to be obedient. Because there's a real devil. So God is saying, look, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And his what? In his law he meditates day and night. But he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You know what that means? Man, where you're in God's word and you're plugged in with the saints. Hallelujah. Man, you're coming out. Man, you're a part of what God is doing. The Holy Ghost is the water that flows through you. Hallelujah. And he replenishes you. He gives you joy unspeakable and full of glory. You're planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. Hallelujah. Listen, if you've been walking with God, for me, by the grace of God, it's been 30 years. I give God all the glory. You know why? Because he has kept me by the rivers of water. Because I want to love him and serve him and honor him. But look at this. And whatever he does shall prosper. Thank you, God. I never thought I'd have the best of both worlds. And you know, one thing I will never do here, I'll never publicize and promote my bread and butter business. I don't need to. Because here it's all about God's business. Can I get amen? Amen? I keep those things separate. I don't promote that stuff. You know why? Because God will allow me to prosper through him. Amen. I don't need to solicit nobody. God will do it. But look at this. The ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff, which is the wind drives them away. Ungodly folks, man, they will end up being destroyed because they won't repent. They won't get right with God. Look at this. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand. Look at this in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. You know what that means? It's not means that they're not going to sit with us. We're talking about in the heaven courts, in heaven, the courts of heaven. There ain't going to be no sinners up there. There's not going to be no ungodly up there. We're going to be the congregants of the righteous. Why are we right? Not because we did anything right. It's because of the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. That cleansed us from our sins. Hallelujah. We will be with Jesus forevermore. Why? Because we are counted the righteousness of Christ. But those sinners and all these wicked people, they won't be there. You know why? Because if they're there, their sin will contaminate heaven. And there's no sin in heaven. Guess what? He's going to give us a new mind. Well, we're not going to even have the thoughts of the past. You know why? Because if we remember our past, guess what? We just brought up memory in heaven about our sin. We're going to have a whole new mind, a whole new body. Hallelujah. We're going to worship the King. Hallelujah. We're going to be just like Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. There's going to be so much joy up there, you can't even comprehend it. Well, but what is God saying this morning? Walk with Him. Speak to Him. Get plugged in. Walk in His ways. The world has nothing for us. Look at this. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall what? Oh, no, you know, I'm letting you in. You can live any way you want. You're gonna be all right. God's word said. Those folks will perish. Man, break that down in Hebrew and in Greek. You know what perish means? The everlasting lake of fire that torments forever. Just imagine, you ever did a barbecue and it's a rotisserie and it's just spinning and spinning and it's there for about 3 hours till it's all done? Just imagine someone eternally roasting, crying out, and all they're thinking in their mind, God allows them to think it's in Revelation. All I had to do was repent and ask Jesus to save me. And they refuse because of their pride. This ain't a popular message, is it? So, how many believe in wise counsel? This message is about wise counsel. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called what? Wonderful, what? Counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. He's the one I want to hear from. Can I get an amen? And if your pastor or elder is not using the word of God, end the meeting. God has to be at the forefront. Can I get an amen? God's word has to come in and apply it to our life and to instruct us. Why? Because our stinking thinking gets us in trouble. And we do everything contrary to God's word. And so, God always has an answer. Look at this. I'm going to go through this quickly, and then I have some questions to ask us. My little children, I'm telling you this so that you will stay away from sin. But if you sin, there is someone to plead for you before the Father. His name is Jesus Christ, the one who is all that is good and who pleases God, what? Completely. Can I get amen? He is the one who took God's wrath against our sins upon himself and brought us into fellowship with God. And he is the forgiveness of our sins. And not only ours, but all the world's. How can we be sure that we belong to him? By looking within ourselves. Are we really trying to do what he wants us to? Look at this. Someone may say, I am Christian. I am on my way to heaven. I belong to Christ. But if he doesn't do what Christ tells him to, he is a liar. Oh man, this, when I had to put this one on, I said, yes, I'm talking to you too, Pastor Fee. You better do what I'm telling you to do. You better speak truth. Look at this. But those who do what Christ tells them to will and to learn and to love God more and more, that is the way to know whether or not you are a Christian. You know what that means? You know, regardless of your shortcomings, I still love you. And I'm still going to cover you with grace and mercy. Why? Because that's what he did for us. Who am I to hold aught against my brother and sister? Look at this. Anyone who says he is a Christian should live as Christ did. Dear brothers, I'm not writing out a new rule for you to obey, but it is an old one that you have always had. Right from the start, you have heard it all before. Yet it is always new and works for you just as it did for Christ, as we obey what? This commandment, to love one another. The darkness in our lives disappears and the new life of Christ shines in. How many wants that life to shine in? Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for the word. Amen. 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 Thank God for the truth. So I close with this. Brother, you can release number one now. Number one. When you talk to someone about your problems, what are you truly seeking? Are you seeking for support? Sympathy? Agreement, direction, and God's viewpoint? That has to be the forefront if you're seeking for godly advice. Can I get amen? Ungodly people won't give you this. Number two, what criteria do you use for choosing a counselor? Oh, I know a homeboy. Man, I grew up with him. I can trust. As I shared it earlier, yeah. Come next Sunday, the whole church knows your business. Number three. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, I forgot. Clack, clack. Instagram and Facebook. All of a sudden, you became a poster child. Look at this. How important is it to you, the advice is shaped by the word of God? Is God molding and shaping us? Can we only see God is transforming my mind, my heart, my walk, my talk, the way I live? Or do I still live a backbiting life? When trouble strikes, do you know where to find God's answer in his word? Huh? Can you go to the word and say, God, I need you to speak to me now? Oh, wait a minute. I'll just call my cousin. Oh, yes, prima. Oh, dale, it's going to be all right. Let's come over and just, we'll suck down a few. Yeah, we'll get your mind off it. Oh, well, I'm being real. Huh? I'm being real. You better go to someone that knows God. Can I get an amen? Number five. What can you do now to ensure that you will be familiar enough with Scripture to know what He desires? What God desires. Hallelujah. Did you catch that? What can you do now to ensure that you will be familiar enough with Scripture to know what He desires? One thing I know about God, what He desires, first and foremost, that's on the top of my list. I can't speak for your list, but my list. Number one is obedience. You know why? Because all my life until I was 30, I was a rebel without a cause. Man. You heard what G said Sunday night? Sunday night. He was so mad because I was telling everybody there was no God. I need to share something with you right now. I'm going to keep this on tape. Then we're going to pray. I shared it this morning. But if I didn't take heed to my wife and to the Spirit of God living in me, then I would have been just another statistic. I had a wonderful Jewish doctor named Stephen Brozinski. He's an the one that studies the innards. What's how do you say that word? Yeah, not gastro, but incro. Anyway, he was that kind of doctor. And I remember, Sister Yolanda, we just got married. And listen, for 10 years, I was single, you know, living the single life, man. And, you know, a wife was not really on my mind just yet. But when we got married, oh, my gosh. Every day, I had enchiladas and tacos. And man, I was like the fatted calf. I was tearing it up, man. I hadn't eaten so good. And so we were in Grossmont Center in a Target, just picking up some stuff. And all of a sudden, a stomach ache came on like no other. I need some Tums. I need something. I must have ate the whole roll. I went home, man, and I was just like on my knees. I was in pain like no other. I mean, it was like a knife going through my innards. And she goes, I need to rush you. I go ahead, honey, take me. Because I heard God saying, you need to go. I wasn't going to be the one that says, you know what? Yeah, I know you told me to go to the doctor, but you know what? God's going to heal me. I didn't want to be that guy that was sitting on the antenna. I sent you a wife. I sent some doctors for you. Now go. And so, man, I thought no more. I couldn't take that pain. I was in pain for 3 hours. That stomach, you know, when the stomach, it usually comes and goes. Okay, I'm good. No, it was on me like white on rice. And so I get there, and they inject me with the strongest kind of pain, way above morphine. What's it called? It starts with a D. Yes, that thing. Whatever it was, I could barely feel the stomach ache, but I knew it was still there, but it took away, and I was just in La La Land. And then all of a sudden, it went away. Oh, what a relief. What a relief. So they said, you need to go see your primary and check out what's going on here. So I called up Dr. Stephen Brzezinski. And I just spoke to him on the phone. He goes, if I was a betting man, I know what it is, but I need you to come in. So they did an ultrasound. I had 50 little stones in my gallbladder. And they started lodging now, going down the bile duct. And when one goes down the bile duct, it's like someone put a samurai sword in you. Oh, my gosh. Now, if I would have known what I know now, I would have kept that gallbladder. But at that time, I said, man, get this thing out. But I know if you radically change your diet and become a vegetarian, that stuff will start dissolving, because all it is cholesterol building up in small little balls. I didn't know that knowledge and wisdom there. I just wanted it out. So they set me up. I was there. She brought me in. And so they went in there with the three little holes. And here's the gallbladder. Here's a little canal that it connects to, and then this drops into the bile duct. And the bile comes from the liver. So they snipped right here, and they yanked it out, and they fused that end up. And Brother Felipe was there to pray for me. I was 36, 37 years old. He was there. Man, we go way back. So the next day, they sent me home, man. The doctor goes, you can eat anything you want now. I said, oh, man, honey, can you make that enchilada plate again? It was a Monday night. I was watching the Denver Broncos play the Los Angeles Raiders at the time. And so I was eating, and all of a sudden, oh! This time, it was more severe than the first one, and my eyes were turning yellow. And when she saw my eyes, it was more yellow than yellow. She goes, I need to rush you in. Once again, no, man, God's going to save me. God's going to, no, take me now. We called a Dr. Brzezinski, and they were going to take me into surgery and just open me up and go in there and try to find out what's going on. But God gave that Jewish man wisdom. And he's the only one in the county that has performed this ever before. He took me into the X-ray room. And he goes, and then they gave me that, they didn't put me all the way out, but I was in La La Land. He went in, what do you call that scope that goes down? Yes, in that one. But on the tip of this one, it was not like your ordinary one. It had a deflated balloon. It had a knife and a camera. And it went in through my throat, through the stomach. And then it made a turn. And it went in through the bile duct. And it was right there on the screen. There was a stone lodged on the other side of the fusion. They didn't get that. They couldn't see that. There was one more stone in there they couldn't get. So when they made the fusion, the stone was on the other side. And then it dropped into my bile duct, and it got stuck, and the bile was backing from my liver, and I only had an hour to live. He saw the stone. And this man, I'm telling you, wisdom, knowledge from God, saved my life. What he did, when he saw the stone, he came right up to it. He slid past the deflated balloon, past the stone. He blew up the balloon, and then he yanked it, and it dropped into my stomach. And immediately, the bile was going where it needed to go, and my eyes turned white like normal. And I told that man, I said, "You saved my life." And then she goes, "God saved through this man." And so I'll never forget, years later, I went back to his office because he no longer did primary work. I went back to him and I said, "Doctor, I'm just here to say thank you." Because that's when I got my ordination. I became a pastor. I said, "Because God used your hands to save me." I go, "I'm pastor in a church called Temple Beth Shalom." He goes, "I know Temple Beth Shalom." I said, "Really?" He goes to the very wealthy one in University Town Center, where all the wealthy rabbis are. That's how they roll. You know, he's a doctor, man. The guy, you know. But I told him, "I want to thank God for you because you saved my life." And you know what he told me? He said in the 1700s, 1800s, 1900s, the turn of the century, many people would drop dead because there was no way to get to that stone that dropped into the bile duct. And so millions of people have died not knowing that it started with the stomach ache, it got lodged into their bile duct, and then they died because the bile backed up. But God had a plan for me. God has a plan for you. And I don't care what stone is stuck in your bile duct right now, God has a way. God is saying, don't take heed to ungodly counsel. If you got to go, God has placed them doctors for you. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. God, don't, whoa, no. When you hear someone say, "You need to go," just go. And let God use them. He put them there for us. Can I get an amen? Amen. And God will do the miraculous. God will get the glory. He'll get the honor. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for your goodness and grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, Lord, for your healing. Hallelujah. Grace upon our lives, oh God. Lord, I'm praying right now, God, that we bind and rebuke marriages that are being distraught and destroyed by the enemy. And Lord, we pray for reconciliation. We pray for restoration. We pray for healing. We pray for forgiveness. We're praying, oh God, the things that you require of us to be obedient, Lord. I'm praying for those who are struggling in their finances right now. Lord, that you will make a way like no other way, oh God. Father, I'm praying, Lord, for those who are bound up to alcohol and to pornography and to all these ungodly things that we latch on to. Lord, that you would set us free, oh God. And Lord, when the urge is, Lord, to go back to what you delivered us from, Lord, that we would know that that's not from you, Jesus. And that's when we have to put the brakes on and say, I bind you, devil. Jesus is all that I need. Jesus is all that I want. Jesus is the only one that can set me free. And I'm praying for those right now who are listening to this message. No matter what we're going through right now, God is, he's so able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. And that the joy of the Lord will be our strength. So if you are here or listening, ask God to bless you right now. Ask God to come in and like a flood and fill your heart with hope and joy and peace. And Lord, all the things that we've gone through, especially these last couple of weeks, horrendous things, things that we would have never thought of, that you would be glorified and magnified and high and lifted up. And that the providence of God will continue to be upon our lives. So if that's you, pray this simple prayer. Watch God do the miraculous in your life. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give them praise. Hallelujah and glory in the house. Man, is God worthy? Is he worthy?
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.